Historical What Ifs. Historical What Ifs.
History hinges on moments so small they could fit in the palm of your hand, yet their consequences echo through centuries and shape the world we live in today. This is Historical What Ifs, where we explore the alternate timelines that could have emerged from a single different decision, a missed opportunity, or a stroke of luck that went the other way. Today's episode examines one of those pivotal moments and traces the extraordinary chain of events that might have followed if history had taken just one small turn in a different direction. Welcome to Historical What Ifs, reimagining pivotal moments, historical what ifs.
Today we are tackling a question so fundamental, it almost feels audacious to ask. What if the most influential political experiment in Western history simply never happened?
Exactly. Imagine an ancient world, an ancient Italy, where the Roman Republic never rises from the ashes of its monarchy. No consuls, no Senate in the way we know it, no tribunes of the plebs. What does that world even look like?
It's a staggering thought. For me, this topic has always been a personal obsession because we tend to see Rome as this monolithic entity. But the Republic was a very specific, very volatile, and frankly, a very unlikely powerhouse. Taking it out of the equation doesn't just leave a hole. It opens the door for a dozen other cultures, the Etruscans, the Samnites, the Greeks of Magna Graecia, to write their own histories.
And that's what gets me. My fascination comes from the other side of the coin. I look around today, and I see the ghost of the Republic everywhere. In the architecture of our government buildings, in the legal concepts we take for granted, in the very language of our politics. To imagine a world without it feels like trying to imagine a body without a skeleton. It makes you question how much of our own world is truly our own, and how much is just an echo from those seven hills.
It's the ultimate historical Jenga tower, isn't it? We're about to pull out one of the biggest, most foundational blocks at the very bottom of the stack. The consequences, the ripple effects on governance, law, warfare, and culture, they are immense and unpredictable.
So, join us as we journey back to an Italy that could have been, a peninsula of rival powers, of different laws and legacies, a world without the long shadow of the Res Publica Romana. This is the story of the Unseen Republic.
So let's place ourselves right at that pivotal moment. 509 BC, the last king, Tarquinius Superbus, is expelled. In our timeline, this is the spark that lights the Republican fire. But in this world, what happens instead? Does Rome just get another king? Maybe a less tyrannical one? Or does it fracture immediately into a squabbling oligarchy run by the powerful families, the gentes?
I think that's the crucial first domino. Because the monarchy was already on shaky ground, heavily under the influence of the Etruscans. My gut feeling is that without the unifying, radical idea of the Res Publica, this public thing, it doesn't hold. It can't. There's no central gravity. You just get powerful clans carving out their own little fiefdoms on the Seven Hills.
A failed state from the get-go.
Precisely. And think what that means for the single most important dynamic of the early Republic, the struggle of the orders, the whole conflict between the patricians and the plebeians. That struggle, which gave us the tribunes, the 12 tables, the very concept of a citizen's rights against the state.
Oh, that's a profound point. So the social pressure just builds without the safety valve of the tribunate? Where does all that plebeian anger and energy go?
It either explodes into a bloody, chaotic civil war that tears the city apart before it ever becomes a regional power. Or more likely, the aristocracy crushes it so completely that Rome becomes a rigid, stagnant state. A city with a permanent, oppressed underclass with no path to power or protection.
And a stagnant, internally divided Rome is a sitting duck, especially when you look north.
To the Etruscans.
Exactly. To Veii. In our history, the war with Veii in the early 4th century BC was an existential, decade-long struggle that forged the Republic's military identity. But a fractured oligarchic or perpetually rebelling Rome? They don't stand a chance, do they? They wouldn't just defeat Rome. It would probably absorb it. Rome becomes just another Etruscan-speaking city, a southern outpost of their league.
It's gone. The whole experiment is over before 400 BC. And the Latin language might even fade, relegated to a local dialect, while Etruscan becomes the language of power in central Italy. The cultural shift alone is staggering to consider.
And who fills that power vacuum in the peninsula? With Rome effectively a non-entity, you have a three-way, or maybe four-way, struggle for control of Italy. You've got the Etruscan civilization to the north, maybe consolidating into a proper kingdom. You have the Samnites in the Apennines,
who were incredibly formidable warriors. They gave the real Republic a run for its money for decades.
Right. And then you have the Greek colonies, Magna Graecia, in the south. Syracuse, Tarentum. Without a rising Rome to eventually conquer them, do they form their own Hellenistic kingdom in Italy? Does a figure like Pyrrhus of Epirus actually succeed because there's no Roman legion to stop him?
It becomes a battleground of cultures, not a unified peninsula. It probably looks more like Greece did, a collection of powerful, warring city-states and ethnic leagues. And this brings me back to the law. The 12 tables were a direct result of the plebeians demanding that the laws be written down. If that never happens,
then what's the basis for law? Is it just the arbitrary whims of a king or an aristocratic council? There's no concept of the law is the law and it applies to everyone, which is arguably Rome's single greatest gift to the world. Without the Republic, do we even get that concept?
I honestly don't think we do, or at least not in any form we'd recognize. Before the Republic forced the issue, law wasn't a public text. It was a secret. It was a set of rituals and formulas held exclusively by the patrician priests, the pontifices. If you had a dispute, you had to go to them, and they would dispense a judgment without ever explaining the rules. It was power, pure and simple, mystical, arbitrary power.
So, law isn't a system. It's a service provided by the elite, for a price, I imagine. There's no equality under the law because the law is literally hidden from view. That changes the entire social contract.
There is no social contract. And think about what that does to an economy. How do you sign a binding contract for a shipment of grain or wine if the rules for enforcing it are secret and can be changed on a whim by a council of aristocrats who might be friends with your competitor? You can't have complex long-distance trade. You can't have a sophisticated financial system.
So, the Etruscan or Greek cities, which had their own commercial traditions, would just run circles around this stagnant, legally primitive Rome. Commerce in central Italy would be dominated by them. The main trade language would be Etruscan or Greek. The coins would be theirs.
And it goes even deeper. It gets to the very idea of what a state is. So much of the Republican genius was creating a legal identity, the citizen. A Roman citizen had specific, defined, and this is the key part, defendable rights. The right of provocatio, the appeal to the people against a magistrate's summary judgment. That's the ancestor of habeas corpus.
Wait, so without the Republic, you don't just lose the laws, you lose the citizen. Is that what you're saying? The legal personhood that comes with rights and responsibilities?
I think so. Your identity remains purely ethnic or tribal. You're a Latin, a Samnite, a Volscian. You're not a citizen of a multi-ethnic state bound by a common legal framework. And that has profound military consequences.
Oh, of course. Because Rome's great trick, its superpower, was incorporation. They'd conquer a people, and within a generation or two, those people could become citizens, their elites could join the Senate, and their men would be filling the legions. They turned enemies into a resource.
Exactly. But that entire system is built on a foundation of law and a portable, non-ethnic definition of citizenship. If you don't have that, you can't absorb anyone. You can conquer the Latins, but they'll just remain resentful subjects, waiting for their chance to rebel. You can't build the confederation that conquered Italy.
So a non-republican Rome isn't just weaker because it's internally divided. It's fundamentally incapable of growing. It hits a hard ceiling. Its army would be composed only of men from the city itself. It could never match the manpower of a consolidated Samnite federation, or a rich Greek city like Tarentum, hiring thousands of mercenaries.
It would be a perpetual underdog in its own backyard. The story of Rome would be a footnote in the story of the Samnite conquest of Latium.
And that brings up the whole military question. The Manipular Legion, that incredibly flexible and devastating military formation, was that a product of the Republic? Or was it just a tactical innovation that would have happened anyway?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I lean towards it being a product of the Republic, not just tactically, but socially. Think about what the Legion was. It wasn't just a formation, it was a reflection of the state. You had the younger, poorer citizens in the front, the more established ones in the middle, the veterans at the back. It was a society in miniature, organized for war.
A citizen army.
A citizen army through and through. That kind of flexible, merit-based in-the-moment system. It requires a society where a commoner has a stake, where he feels like a part of the whole. In a rigid oligarchy, you'd probably just stick with the old hoplite phalanx, a wall of spears for the rich guys. It's less effective, sure, but it keeps the social order exactly where the aristocrats want it.
And they would have never had the catalyst for change. The Romans learned the hard way about the phalanx's weaknesses by fighting the Samnites in the mountains. Those wars were the forge of the Legion. But a weak, non-expansionist, internally focused Rome never fights the Samnite wars. They never get that brutal education.
So, they lack the social structure and the military incentive. It's a double blow. The Legion as we know it is just another casualty of the unseen Republic.
Wow. So when we pull it all together, we're looking at a Rome that is legally primitive, culturally isolated, and militarily outmoded. It's a footnote, a backwater that gets swallowed by its more dynamic neighbors before it ever has a chance to shape the world.
Which brings us to the final thought, I suppose. When we tally it all up, what is the single biggest thing the world loses without the res publica?
For me, it has to be the idea of a scalable state. The concept that you can build a political entity that's bigger than a city, bigger than a tribe. This idea that you can create a shared identity, Roman, out of dozens of different peoples, based not on blood, but on law and a framework of shared participation. That's the blueprint for every multi-ethnic empire, and eventually every nation-state that follows. Without it, I think history is just smaller, more fragmented.
That's a powerful one. I see that. But I think I land on something maybe more fundamental, more abstract. For me, the greatest loss is the attempt to structure power, to prevent tyranny. All those checks and balances, the consuls, the tribunes, the term limits, it was incredibly messy, and yes, it failed spectacularly in the end.
It led to Caesar, after all.
It did. But the experiment itself, the very idea that you could design a system to hold power accountable, that's the ghost in our modern political machine. Every constitution, every Supreme Court, every debate about executive power is an echo of an argument the Romans started. Without them, we lose the very grammar of political liberty.
So it's back to your original point. A body without a skeleton. A world where the default setting for power is just a king or a warlord, unchecked and absolute. The idea of a res publica, a public thing that belongs to everyone, maybe that was the most audacious part of the whole experiment.
And maybe it was the true miracle. Not the conquests, not the aqueducts, but that one fragile idea.
It really makes you wonder. What other miracles, what other fundamental ideas have we lost to history without ever even knowing they were possible? The butterfly effect of history reminds us that the world we know today is just one of countless possibilities, shaped by moments of chance, choice, and consequence that could have easily gone another way. This has been Historical What Ifs, where every episode reveals how fragile our timeline really is, and how different decisions by our ancestors might have created an entirely different present. Understanding these alternate possibilities doesn't just satisfy our curiosity. It helps us appreciate how remarkable it is that we ended up in this particular version of history.